Well, at this time, our children can be dismissed for children's church. And as they're leaving, where we're going to be today is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 17 through 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. That's going to be our scripture for today. The first job I ever had was at Kroger. And Kroger's a good job. It's a good place to work for. But just like any job, there were some issues that came up from time to time. And one of the biggest issues that would come up is oftentimes something will be mislabeled on a shelf. It was supposed to be a price much higher than what it was labeled as, but for some reason somebody goofed up and accidentally put a price that was lower than what we were trying to make out of it. So what would happen is people would bring that product up and it would ring up wrong. And maybe some of you guys have done this before. Whoa. Hold on a second. That orange juice was supposed to be 50 cents cheaper than that. Right? We've all done that before. So for us, though, that caused problems because you can imagine that management really doesn't like selling things for less than what they are meant to be sold for, because sometimes things get mislabeled. And as we're going to look at today from our scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21, God has given us a label. God has given us an identity through Him. But what happens a lot of times in the church, what happens a lot of times with us, is the Bible tells us things like we are redeemed, we are sons and daughters of God, we are a royal priesthood, but sometimes it seems that our culture and maybe even our own selves want to mislabel us. We want to put another label besides what God has put upon us. So what we're going to be looking at today, first of all, is what are some of these false labels that we have, and what does God say about who we are? So let's look at our text from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 21. Verses 17 through 21. It says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this truth that we have today, that we can be new creations through your Son, Jesus, God. So, Lord, we just pray that we'll be changed by your word and be better disciples for you through it. In Jesus' name, amen. So before we get started on what we are, I thought it was necessary to discuss some things that we are not as Christians. You know, we talk about those false labels, those false identities, if you want to call them that. And that's the first thing we're going to be looking at, is we have to beware of identity thieves. And there's so many things out there that want to rob us of who we really are in Christ. So I'm just going to name a few of those off. And as I'm naming those off, I want you to be thinking to yourself, have I ever tried to identify with this? Have I ever tried to make this who I am? Have I ever tried to find my worth in this? Let's look at a couple of these identity thieves that we face. The first one is our accomplishments. So many people want to find their identity, who they are. They want to define themselves based upon their accomplishments. I'll give you an example. Maybe someone who has made a lot of money in their life. Maybe they like feeling like they have a lot of money, so they identify themselves with someone who is rich. And maybe even the world around you sees you as that. So that is your accomplishment. That is something that you have accomplished in your life. So maybe your identity is wrapped up in being rich, having money. Or maybe for some of you today, maybe it's academic accomplishments. That's a big one in our culture. You know, what have you done? Where did you go to school? What kind of degree did you get? And maybe you find your worth in your academic accomplishments. A movie that in our home is a very old movie, but it's kind of making a comeback in our home is The Wizard of Oz, because it's new to our girls. They've never seen it before, so they think it came out like last year. I'm like, no, it's really old. But they think it's brand new, so it's new to them. And I love the scene in that movie. Maybe some of you remember it, where the scarecrow goes to the wizard. And what's the scarecrow want? Anybody remember? He wants a brain, right? So he feels like he doesn't have a brain. So he goes to the wizard, and he says, here's what I need. I need a brain. And here's what the wizard says to him. He said, where I come from, we have universities where men go to become deep thinkers. And when they come out, they think deep thoughts. They have as many brains as you have, but they have one thing you don't, and that is a diploma. And he holds up a diploma. And then, I love how the scarecrow reacts. He says, oh joy, I have a brain. And then he takes the diploma from the wizard. All of a sudden, he had told himself all of his life, I'm nobody, I don't have a brain, I can't think for myself. You know, but then all of a sudden, all it took was somebody saying, you have accomplished something. And now, his identity was no longer someone who didn't have a brain, but someone who was smart, someone who was accomplished. And all it took was somebody just patting him on the back. So maybe that's like us. Maybe we've accomplished something in our life, so we feel like that's who we are. We are those accomplishments. Now, I do want to be very, very careful here. Accomplishments are a good thing. Accomplishments are not sinful. It's not wrong to accomplish things in your life. As a matter of fact, I would say God gets much glory out of His children accomplishing things, especially when we give Him the praise for those things that He so rightly deserves. So accomplishments are not bad, but we must be on guard that we do not find our worth and our purpose in those accomplishments that we have had in our lives. That's not where we find who we are. Not in our accomplishments. Maybe for more of you here today, maybe your identity, the way people view you or the way you view yourself, is more wrapped up in your lack of accomplishments. And I would say that this is probably a majority of the people that you're going to face. They are just beating themselves up for the things that they have not accomplished, they have not done throughout their lives. I'll give you some examples. I never made the money that I wanted to make. Probably a lot of people feel that way. I never landed the job that I wanted. I never finished high school. I never finished college. I never achieved certain goals I had for my life. And what happens whenever we begin to think about these things, they begin to weigh us down. And sometimes we can even use these as excuses for not moving forward for the glory of God, because we find our identity in the things that we have not accomplished in our lives. Maybe we feel like we've wasted our lives. What's the point? This is who I am. I'm someone who's never accomplished much. So we can let our accomplishments define us. I'm a failure. I'm a nobody. I haven't done anything with my life. So whether our accomplishments or our lack of accomplishments define who we are, we need to be on guard against that. I want to warn us today that that is an identity thief. Even though accomplishments are good, it's an identity thief if that's where you find your worth and your purpose in this life, because of something you've done or something you haven't done. Another one is friends and family. Another identity thief that we may face in our lives is our friends and family. Our identity may be wrapped up in who we know or where we came from. For example, if you come from a long line of a family who are outstanding citizens, your family is well-respected in the community, or maybe you're close friends with people who are well-respected in the community, people may look at you and they think about those people. Or maybe you see your worth based upon who you know or the people that you have come from, the people who surround you or have surrounded you throughout your life. Or the opposite of that, maybe you have friends or family who were not outstanding citizens like some of us have, or maybe you used to hang out with people who were not outstanding citizens. Maybe they've done some things that maybe you're a little ashamed to say, I was close friends with that person. You know, maybe sometimes people look at you and they just see you based upon who you associate with, whether it be your friends, your family, or whoever it is. And you know, even if you come from a good family and have good friends, that's not who you are. And that's not where you find your worth and your purpose. Here's another one. This is a big one for maybe a lot of you. Your appearance. Maybe your identity thief is your appearance. You know, and in the culture that we live in today, I think we would all agree that we live in an image-driven society. It's all about the look. Everyone has to look good. It's an image-driven society that we live in. You can't be a movie star unless you look good. You can't have be successful in a business. You need to look good. You need to have the appearance. And so for a lot of people, they may feel like their physical appearance is who they are because they are good-looking. Or the opposite of that, where I find myself from time to time, I'm really not good-looking. I don't look so good today. I look in the mirror and think, man, I'm getting old, older all the time, and, you know, I'm 24, so you guys can laugh at that. But, you know, you wake up, and you got the bed head, and, you know, you got all that going on, and maybe some of you ladies, you ain't got your makeup on yet, you're looking in the mirror, you're thinking, what's going on with me? You know, where did 20 years go? And then, you know, so for you, you get really down about your appearance, and you feel like, man, I just wish that I looked better. I wish that I could feel more comfortable in my own body. But we have to be careful about finding worth in appearances. Proverbs 31:30, a familiar verse, tells us that beauty is fleeting. Beauty is fleeting. So one day, even if you look good now, there will come a day where your physical body won't look so good. And so beauty is fleeting. 1 Samuel 16:7 says that man looks at the outer appearance, but God looks at what? Some of you know this one. God looks at the heart. That's right. God looks at the heart. So if we find our worth and our value, if we find who we are based upon our appearances, whether it's good or bad, that's an identity thief for us. We have to be on guard against that. We can't let that rule who we are. And this one I'm going to list just because it was especially close to me, and it was something that I've had to battle throughout my life. I've had to make sure that I was rooted in Christ and not rooted in this, and that is talents or skills. Talents or skills. So let me give you a really quick Justin Black definition of terms here, okay? This is not from any dictionary. This is just what I came up with because I thought it would be simple. Talents are something that is God-given. Skills are those things that you work at to master. Okay? So sometimes there's confusion about that. What's talents? What's skill? Talent is something that God has given you. Skills is something that you work at to become better at. And it's always good to combine those two things if you can. And the reason I say this one was personal for me was because when I was in school, I always felt like I just had this giant label on my head that said musician. Okay? Let me tell you why. Because I always had people that would come up to me and they'd be like, hey, Justin, you want to come hang out this weekend? You know, people are coming over the house. It's going to be fun. We're going to have food. Everybody you know is going to be there. Yeah, sure, let's do that. And then you know what they'd say? By the way, bring your guitar with you when you come. I'm like, you want me or the guitar? What do you want? You know? And this one happened a lot, okay? And this one kind of depressed me sometimes because I would get invited to birthday parties. And then they would follow up that invite to a birthday party with, bring the band with you. I really want a free band to come and play at my birthday party. So, you know, that was something that I faced a lot. And I always felt like because I was doing something that at least some people thought I did good at, because I was doing something and I was receiving some kind of you know, worth from that, I was getting a pat on the back and people were saying, man, this is something you're good at. Because I had that going on, I kind of felt like this is who I am. This is what my identity is. This is everything about me is musician. That's just who I am. So for me, that was something that I faced a lot. And so maybe there's a particular talent or a skill that you have and you feel like nobody does it quite like you. And people look at you and they think about that talent or that skill. Or maybe you define yourself based upon that talent or that skill. But we have to be careful about that because here's why. God is the one who enables us to have talents or skills. And those things are meant to bring honor to His name. So, the talents, the skills that we have are meant to bring God glory, not to point that glory at ourselves. So this is a dangerous identity thief that we may face, is our talents or our skills that God has given us. So, the question today, at the top of your notes, is who am I? I want to say this, and I hope I get a rowdy amen when I say it. When it comes to who we are, when it comes to what our identity is, Jesus gets the last word.
Amen.
Amen. There you go. It's not about what we think we are or what other people think we are. If we are children of God, if we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus gets the last word. Here's what verse 17 in our text says. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." What does that mean for us? That means, yes, the identity thieves are there, but how do we react when the identity thieves come our way? We embrace Christ. We embrace who we are in Christ. Look at it again. It's one of my favorite verses. It's one you should remember. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a," let's say it together, "new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." So here's what society says, and here's what maybe you've even told yourself. You are dot, dot, dot. Fill in the blank. You are accomplished. You are not accomplished. You have talents or skills. You do not have talents or skills. You are good looking. You're bad looking. Whatever. You may have felt like in your life that those things define who you are. But look in verse 17, we're going to see that in Christ, what are we? A new creation. We are redeemed. We are purchased by the blood of the Lamb. And that is why we can, thirdly, we can live victoriously. Now, everybody in life wants to live victoriously. And we hear this a lot in Christian circles. Live in victory. There's a lot of songs about victory that we sing, and it's something we talk a lot about. We want to live a life that is full of victory. And I want to suggest to you today that when we want to live a life that brings victory to our own hearts and it furthers the kingdom of God, if we want to live that kind of victorious life, it starts with embracing Christ. That was the second point. And then we can live in victory. And this means two things for us when we embrace Christ and we can live in victory. Here's what it means. First of all, if we are a new creation, if we have worth, if we are special, if we are a child of God, that means for us, I want you to write this down, we have worth. We are worth something. Everyone in the world wants to feel worth. Everyone wants to feel like they are important. I don't know about you, but I've never had a conversation with somebody where somebody just says, "Man, you know what I love? I love feeling worthless. It's just the best. It's just the best to wake up and be miserable all day long." I mean, have you ever met somebody that says that? No, nobody wants to feel worthless. Everybody wants to feel like they have worth. Everyone wants to feel like they mean something. And the good news for us is that in Christ, we mean something. We are a child of the King. And that is very, very good news. So we have worth. God loves us. God cares for us. But not only that, not only do we have worth, but secondly, we have a purpose. God has given us a purpose. God doesn't just say, "I love you, I care for you." But here's what He says. Look with me in verse 18. He says, "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself." Now listen to this. "And gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Our purpose in life is to bring glory to God. As children of the King, we are to invite people into that kingdom. You know, a lot of people think that secrets are bad, but not all secrets are bad. Maybe you've had a really good secret in your life. You know, maybe you've had one of those times where something really good is about to happen to you. You know, something's just around the corner. But you can't let everybody know just yet. You have to wait a few days. You have to wait a few weeks. You have to make sure everything pans out the way it's supposed to before you start letting everybody know. And what you know for sure is that there are a short list of people that you have, or maybe it's a long list, that you are not going to tell that secret to. Because as soon as you tell them, you know they can't keep their mouth shut. They're going to tell everybody they know about that secret. Okay? So, you know, here's the great news about the gospel. It is the best news in the world, and it was never meant to be kept a secret. Did you know that? Let's look again. Look at the end of verse 18. He says, "Who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." When great things happen in your life, you want to tell people about that. Our sin separated us from God, but through Christ, we can be reconciled to God. We can have peace with God. And if we've accepted that, if we believe that message, if we are children of God ourselves, the Bible is clear that we have been given that same message. And verse 20 says this, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." That is our message to the world. That is the message that we accept. That is how we found our worth. That is how we found our purpose. That is where we found our identity. That is where we received freedom and victory in our lives. So why wouldn't we want to tell other people that great news? Be reconciled to God. And here, I love this verse because this sums up the gospel so well. It sums up the story of Jesus, the New Testament, so well. "For our sake, He, God, made Him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him, Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God." You know, all of us would say probably that we don't feel righteous. We don't feel so good about ourselves a lot of times. When we think about the sin that is in our lives, the temptations that we have weighing down upon our hearts, I would say that many of us feel like we are not righteous. But the good news of the gospel is you did not have to be righteous on your own. But Christ was perfectly righteous. He did not deserve to die, but He died in your place. So that is why today, if you are here and you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, here's what I'm saying to you. It's at the end of verse 20. Be reconciled to God. Church attendance does not make you reconciled to God. Being part of small group Bible study does not make you reconciled to God. Being nice to your neighbor does not make you reconciled to God. Being a good moral person does not make you reconciled to God. All of these things are good, and all of these things are the act of someone who has already been reconciled to God. But we must first confess our sins, repent, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you a story. Somebody very dear to me that she actually brought me to church quite a bit whenever we were growing up. She cared very much about me. And, you know, any time that I didn't have a ride to church, she would always be right there to pick me up. She was always there to counsel me. But something happened one day in a church service. It was the end of the message, and I looked to my left. She's not there anymore. She began to walk down the aisle. And she comes to the preacher and she says, "I've been to church all my life, but I have never confessed my sins and turned to Christ for salvation. I've never made Him Lord of my life." And I'm not entirely convinced that there's not people here today who may have that same story. So what I want to say to you is, please be reconciled to God. Or maybe you didn't grow up in church. Maybe all this is relatively new to you, the message of salvation. Confess Jesus. Turn to Him. Repent of your sins. That's for you. So today, if you've heard this and you feel like, "I don't know anything about having worth. I've never felt like I have a purpose. I've never felt like I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King." If you're here today and you can say that, I'm pleading with you. Surrender to Christ today. Don't wait. But for the rest of us, I think we all sometimes want to reach for those false labels. As Christians, sometimes we want to be defined by other things. And as Christians, sometimes we don't want to be defined by other things, but we still feel like those are the things that define us. So here's what I'm pleading with you today. Today could be the day where you just cry out to Jesus and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I've tried to have another identity. When being with you should have been enough. Being a child of the King should be enough for me. You know, one song that we sing quite a bit here is In Christ Alone. And I love, love, love that song. And my favorite line in the song says, no power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck me from His hand till He returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. And we've all sung that, but can you say that honestly? Listen to this first part again. No power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck me from His hand. Why? Because you belong to the King. Can you say that today? I pray that you can. Here's the message. Here's what we need to hear as we close. Verse 21. For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. We might become children of God. Praise God for that today. So, I pray that this message has affected you in some way. But here's what I always think. I think this about every sermon. A lot of people say, you know, what was this message saying to me today, or how did I feel about this message? But what I always like to think about is what is Christ trying to say to me through this? Because we got to find ourselves where Christ finds us. Because He gets the last word. We already said that. So here's what I mean by that. If today you've not been reconciled to God, you don't have salvation through Christ Jesus, that is how God sees you, and that is your greatest need, is to turn to Christ for salvation. But if you're here today and you feel like, man, all these identity thieves are coming at me, they're trying to steal my joy, that's where Christ finds you today. And you can get that right. You can cry out to Him. And you can say, I'm sorry. And your prayer can be, Lord, You are enough. You are all that I need. So let's pray together. And we'll close. Father, we thank You so much for Your love and Your grace. We thank You so much for the peace that You give us through Jesus. And Lord, as we just read about, our greatest need is to be reconciled to You, Lord. So I pray that right now, if there's somebody here that does not know Your Son Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they don't know what it's like to have worth, to have purpose, to be a child of the King. God, I pray that today they would surrender everything to You. And God, I pray for the believers here who have already made that decision, but sometimes they just feel like everything else in their world defines who they are. Lord, would You just speak to their spirit right now and tell them, You are mine. You're my child. God, You love us so much. Thank You for that. And God, as we close here, I just pray that we would see ourselves the way You see us. And we just love You so much. And we give You the praise and the glory for everything You do for us, and everything You are. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.